Alexandra Quick and the Wizard War by Inverarity, read by Sam Gabriel. Chapter 3. It's time to go. Alexandra regained consciousness lying on her back, surrounded by uniformed officers looking down at her with grim, unfriendly expressions. A wizard wearing the rank of mage captain was kneeling next to her. He laid a hand gently on her stomach. "Does this hurt?" he asked, pressing slightly. Alexandra shook her head. "You splinched yourself internally," he said. "That takes real talent." Alexandra sighed. "Like Miss Shirtliff said, I'm really talented. Fortunately for you, I am a more talented healer." The mage captain's tone was haughty. "You might have died otherwise." "Thanks," Alexandra said. She sat up and looked around. "Miss Shirtliff?"
"That's Witch Colonel Shirtliff," said a raspy voice. "Also alive, thanks to Mage Captain Walker's talent, and no thanks to you."
Witch Colonel Shirtliff, walking stiffly, joined the circle of officers looking down at Alexandra. She'd applied cleaning charms to her uniform, but it was still stained and frayed, and her face was streaked with mud. She grimaced.
"You fight dirty, Quick." "I learn from the best," Alexandra said.
One corner of Shirtliff's mouth turned upward. "I didn't teach you that." Alexandra returned a flat stare. "I didn't mean you." The partial smile on Shirtliff's face faded. Alexandra found her yew wand lying on the ground next to her. She picked it up and struggled to her feet. No one offered to help her. Her legs were still shaky, but the excruciating pain in her stomach was gone. She faced Shirtliff and her regiment. Only moonlight and a few wands illuminated the field. "I won," she said. "You prepared the grounds beforehand," Shirtliff said. "You laid that curse ahead of time. How could you have planned for a duel like that?"
"Cunning and forethought?"
No need to tell Shirtliff that it wasn't her she'd planned to duel.
"You smart-ass little brat. You think you're so damned clever just because you keep acting reckless and irresponsible, and yet somehow you survive."
"I won," Alexandra repeated.
"And you don't get to lecture me anymore, Miss Shirtliff. Give me back my stuff or do whatever you're going to do to me."
Shirtliff scowled. She reached for something sitting on the ground at her feet. Lifting the backpack, she tossed it next to Alexandra. She reached inside her uniform jacket and pulled out a black hickory wand, which she tossed onto the ground next to the backpack. Alexandra quickly grabbed the wand and slid the backpack on.
"We're leaving," Shirtliff said. "You better hope the Dark Invention doesn't gather for a second run at this town. We probably won't be back to save it next time."
"Did they really send all those warlocks and things just for me?"
"Makes you feel important, doesn't it?"
"Oh, damn it, it makes me feel terrified."
Alexandra had felt so many emotions in the last 24 hours, from triumph to despair.
"I know I can't protect Larkin Mills by myself. If giving myself up will save everyone here, I'll do that."
Shirtliff's expression became flat again. She looked right and left at her subordinates, then walked over to stand directly in front of Alexandra so they were face to face.
"They aren't likely to try again," Shirtliff said. "Not for this place. We broke them, and it takes a lot for them to assemble such a gathering. Also, I assume they kept it secret from your father, who will now be aware of the attempt. You're not safe here. But I don't think the Dark Invention will attack Larkin Mills again."
"Okay," Alexandra said.
"You're still wanted by the WJD. They're spread thin enough they might not come after you immediately, but you're still an enemy of the Confederation."
"Are you going to get in trouble for letting me go, even if it was under the Code Duello?"
"Do you care?"
"Not really."
Her former teacher showed teeth in something that was neither a snarl nor a smile.
"I might have to resign my commission, which is fine. I'm going back to Charmbridge. It needs defending, too."
"Charmbridge?"
Alexandra's cool tone faltered. "Even in the middle of a wizard war, students are still returning to school. For many of them, it's safer than home. Of course, that's assuming your father doesn't do to Charmbridge what he did to Baleswood in New Amsterdam. Do you think you could have a word with him about that?"
"Maybe, maybe not."
Alexandra was feeling less righteous and sure of herself. Would her father destroy Charmbridge Academy, as he had other wizarding schools in the Confederation? Everyone assumed he had spared Charmbridge until now because his daughter was a student there, but Alexandra had been expelled a year ago, and yet the Thorn Circle had not struck. Perhaps it was because Alexandra's mother, Hecate, was still at Charmbridge. An empty shell of her mother transformed into a rat, but it was still her. But she really didn't know what her father's plans were. Well then, without another word, Shirtliff turned and walked back to her troops. "Protect the school, Miss Shirtliff," Alexandra called after her. "Protect the students! Protect my friends." Shirtliff turned her head, but Alexandra couldn't read her expression in the pre-dawn gloom. Then the regimental officer corps vanished in a wave of disapparitions. They took their fallen and the Dark Convention casualties with them, leaving the fields around Old Larkin Pond trampled and scorched and torn apart, but empty. Alexandra sent Charlie ahead of her as she returned to Sweet Maple Avenue. She was used to seeing through Charlie's eyes now. She always worried about someone figuring out their connection, and she'd done her best to protect her familiar, but she couldn't make the Raven invincible. Charlie cawed. The black van was gone. Alexandra wondered about Mrs. Wilborough's comments about feds and what Miss Shirtliff had told her. It was bad enough knowing the Dark Convention and the Confederation were both after her, but now she needed to worry about G-Men, too. She was definitely going to have to ask Mrs. Wilborough about that. She walked quickly. Even though it was still dark outside, there could be early risers looking out their windows. She was extra wary, but no more cars went by. She felt tired. Mage Captain Walker might have healed her, but he had not rejuvenated her. And Alexandra knew a renovation spell would just add to her fatigue when it wore off. Archie Green was standing in the driveway next to his truck as Alexandra came up the street. She let Charlie land on the roof of their house, but commanded the Raven to stay quiet. Archie watched Alexandra walk up the driveway. He was either still on duty or had just gotten off, as he was wearing his Larkin Mills Police Department uniform. He looked as if he'd lost some weight over the summer. "Hi, Archie," Alexandra said.
"Hello, Alexandra," Archie grinned. "Have you been up to no good?"
She almost smiled. You always assume that. She took another deep breath, knowing this was going to be hard, because Archie had never fully accepted that she was a witch and that the wizarding world was real, and he was proud and stubborn and thick-headed.
"Listen, you and Claudia need to leave. I mean, leave Larkin Mills. You're both in danger."
She watched his face and repeated, "Claudia's in danger." He regarded her seriously and nodded slowly.
"Claudia is at work. Can you call her?"
Alexandra would have used her own cell phone, but sitting in her backpack, its battery was certainly dead. It was hard to keep it charged around magic.
"Yes," Archie said. "But we should go get her. Her automobile isn't working, so I had to take her to work."
He reached into his pocket and pulled out the keys to his truck.
"You drive while I call her."
Alexandra blinked. "You want me to drive?
You know how, don't you?"
He fumbled in his pocket with his other hand and took out his cell phone.
Okay.
Alexandra took the keys from him. While she climbed into the driver's seat, Archie got in on the passenger's side and flipped open his phone. Alexandra started the truck, backed out onto the street, and accelerated down Sweet Maple Avenue in the direction of Larkin Mills Hospital. Archie was still fumbling with his phone. Alexandra kept one hand on the steering wheel and reached for the wand sheath tucked at her side with her other hand. In a quick movement, Archie dropped his phone and drew a wand from beneath his shirt. He pressed it against her ribs.
"Both hands on the wheel," he said. "That's the proper way to drive, is it not? Now don't try anything foolish. I don't want to hurt you, but I will if you don't behave. Just keep driving. But take us to the Regal Royalty Sweets and Confections warehouse. I know the way, so don't try to trick me."
At the end of the street, Alexandra obediently turned toward Third Street. Archie glanced down at the phone sitting by his foot.
"Infernal muggle device. That's what gave me away, wasn't it?" I thought that it can't be that hard to figure out if a muggle can operate it.
And yet you needed me to drive, Alexandra said. Who are you? And what did you do with Archie? Is Claudia all right? If you hurt either of them, I swear I'll kill you.
The man wearing Archie's face stopped grinning.
Claudia is in fact at work. And I did not hurt your stepfather, is it? Or brother-in-law?
So confusing.
Regardless, I just made him go inside and go to sleep, after I relieved him of his clothing and possessions. I told you, dear girl, I find muggles entertaining. I prefer not to hurt anyone if I don't have to.
You, Alexandra said. Pasquale Mercurio.
Archie's face transformed, turning thinner and less red. His blonde mustache darkened and lengthened into a curly handlebar shape, and his body shrank inside his uniform.
Pasquale Mercurio, the criminal metamorphmagus who had escaped with Alexandra from Erie Island last year, grinned at her.
"It's a pleasure to see you again, Miss Quick," he said. "I wish it could be under better circumstances. Just keep driving."
They were approaching 3rd Street, the 3-story brick building that had once been the Regal Royalty Suites and Confections warehouse was visible ahead.
"Why do you want to go to the warehouse?" Alexandra asked.
"I'm going to deliver you by Flul to certain interested parties who wish very much to meet you."
"The Wizard Justice Department or the Dark Convention?"
"I imagine handing over the daughter of the enemy to the WJD might be worth a pardon, but no. This is a private party. Someone who had good information about when you would arrive, and the trap at that pond."
"What do they want with me?"
"I really couldn't say."
"So I guess it doesn't matter to you what they intend to do to me."
"Would it make you feel better if I said I feel badly about this?"
"No? Does it make you feel better?"
"Now, Miss Quick, one cannot always choose one's allies when one is a fugitive. You know that as well as I."
They were almost to the warehouse and the enchanted barrier around the property that kept away muggles but was no more than a phantom fence to witches and wizards capable of seeing through it.
"Speaking of allies, are Cygnus Nero and Elizabeth Todd with you?" Alexandra asked.
"Goodness, no," Mercurio said. "I haven't seen them since we all went our separate ways after coming ashore."
"Good to know."
He reached across her beneath her arms.
"Don't worry, I may not be a gentleman, but I'm no cad. I assure you I'm only reaching for your wand, but I also assure you I'm quite capable of casting an entrail-expelling curse should you be troublesome."
He screamed and threw himself against the door as a brown snake emerged from beneath Alexandra's sleeve and hissed at him. Alexandra floored the accelerator, and the truck bounced up the curb and roared through the phantasmal metal fence.
"What are you doing?"
Mercurio shouted.
"Stop this vehicle right now!"
Alexandra kept her foot on the accelerator. The truck sprayed gravel as it hurtled directly at the building.
"Stop!"
Mercurio shouted.
"You regret this!"
He pointed his wand at Nigel, who had slithered out of Alexandra's shirt and was now coiled and hissing on the seat between them. Alexandra yanked hard on the wheel. The truck screeched and tilted sideways. Mercurio screamed and disapparated away. Alexandra snatched Nigel and said,
"Petrocorporum!"
as the truck tumbled. It bounced several times, rolling over and over before settling upright again with a jolt. Alexandra was unable to move for several seconds. When the stone body spell ended, she and Nigel both returned to flesh and blood. Nigel was agitated, and if not for her grip around his neck, might have actually bitten her.
"Sorry, Nigel."
She turned the snake back into a tattoo on her skin. The windows of the truck were smashed, the roof had caved, and the windshield was cracked all the way across. Alexandra whipped her hickory wand out of its sheath and looked around in all directions. Pasquale Mercurio appeared behind her in the rearview mirror. The truck's engine was still running, so she threw it into reverse and pressed the accelerator. It jerked and made a terrible grinding sound.
"Clutch," she said, grimacing, and tried again.
A hex blew out the back window, and then Mercurio apparated again before the truck ran him down. Alexandra slammed on the brakes, disengaged the truck's gears, and jumped out before it had come to a complete stop. The lot in front of the Pruitt school was empty. The sound of the truck rolling might have attracted attention, but it was still early morning and only a few cars went by as Alexandra turned about to scan in all directions for Pasquale Mercurio. Now that they were inside the fence line, the building's muggle-repelling charms deflected attention away from them. Mercurio was nowhere to be seen. Alexandra cast a revealing charm, but no one else was nearby. After taking several long, deep breaths, more seconds passed, and the Metamorphmagus did not reappear. Claudia, she thought, and Archie. She got back in the truck and tried to restart it. To her surprise, the engine came to life without difficulty. Though it made some ominous sounds when she put it into gear again, she rolled out of the Pruitt school lot and back onto the street, bouncing and grinding and trailing smoke. She ignored the honks and shouts from people who seemed intent on pointing out what she already knew, that the truck was leaking fluids, at least one tire was losing air, and pieces were falling off as she drove. She ran through a red light and got honked at by the vehicle waiting on the opposite side of the intersection. She screeched around the corner of Sweet Maple Avenue. Claudia's car was sitting in the driveway of their house. As she drove up, she saw Claudia and Archie both standing next to it. She jerked the truck to a halt at the curb in front of the house and jumped out.
"Alexandra!" cried Claudia, looking at her in shock. "Alexandra!" said Charlie.
He wasn't wearing his police uniform, but sweatpants and a t-shirt and a holstered gun. He put his hands to his head, staring at the truck in horror.
"What have you done to my truck?"
Alexandra approached them both, with the tip of her wand moving back and forth between them.
"Claudia,
what's the name of the bald wizard who came to my appeal hearing?"
Claudia stared at her. "What? Answer the question!"
Alexandra yelled, pointing her wand. Claudia's eyes went wide.
"Richard Respire," she said almost in a whisper.
Alexandra pointed her wand at Archie.
"What did I do to your other truck when I was 5? What the hell do you think you're doing, Alexandra?"
Archie demanded.
"You are in so much trouble, and if you don't stop pointing that... Answer the question! You wrecked that one too,"
Archie said.
"Now what is this about?"
Alexandra hesitated. There was a pop, and another figure materialized out of the air next to Claudia and Archie. Alexandra pointed her wand at the newcomer.
"You," she said.
She almost blasted him, but Claudia and Archie were too close. She flicked a hex in the next instant, but it flew into the air as a flash of red knocked her off her feet. With a flick of his own wand, Richard Respire cast a disarming spell that sent Alexandra's wand flying away from her. Barely able to breathe, Alexandra tried to rise. But tendrils of grass whipped out of the ground and lengthened and thickened into vines that wrapped around her wrists and ankles so she couldn't move.
"No!"
Claudia moaned. Respire turns to her and Archie.
"Hello, Mrs. Green. I'll deal with you shortly."
He waved his wand, and Claudia gasped as her feet were rooted in place. Archie yelled,
"Who the hell are you?"
Respire said, "Avada Kedavra."
A flash of green light engulfed Archie, and he collapsed to the ground. Claudia screamed.
"What a disaster," Respire said.
He advanced on Alexandra, who was still breathless and helplessly pinned to the ground.
"All this chaos and calamity, all this trouble. Well, this will be the last mess that needs to be cleaned up in your wake, Miss Quick. The Governor General sent me to do what no one else in the Confederation seems able to." He pointed his wand at her. "It's time for you to die."
And there was a sharp bang. Respire shuddered. Then in quick succession, there were 3 more bangs, and Respire's entire body jerked with each one. Holes appeared in his chest, each one spreading a stain that was dark enough to be visible even against his dark vest. He turned, with a look of astonishment and disgust. Claudia was holding a revolver. She fired it into Respire 4 more times, and then continued pulling the trigger, making dry clicking noises. Respire's wand fell from his hand, and he crumpled to the ground. As he did so, Claudia's feet were freed. She cried out,
"Archie!"
and knelt next to him. Alexandra felt the grass tendrils around her wrists and ankles slacken. Despite the pain in her chest, she brought her legs beneath her and forced herself to her feet. She staggered over to Claudia.
The dead man lying on his back in the driveway was not Archie. It was Pasquale Mercurio. Alexandra's head went light with relief, and tears blurred her vision even as Claudia continued sobbing in confusion. Alexandra sucked in a deep, painful breath and pulled her U wand from beneath her shirt. She said, "Accio wand." And her other wand came flying from the edge of the lawn into her hand. Up and down the street, lights were coming on. Gunshots weren't often heard in Larkin Mills. Alexandra pointed her hickory wand at Respire's body. "Levicorpus." It rose off the ground, dripping blood. She said, "Levicorpus," again. And Pasquale Mercurio's body also floated up from the driveway. Claudia suppressed a little shriek. Alexandra said, "Open the front door, Claudia." Claudia, still kneeling, turns to look at her with wide, fearful eyes. Alexandra's teeth were clenched together so tightly it hurt. "Open the front door," she repeated. "Please, Claudia, we need to get inside." Claudia stumbled to her feet. "Where's Archie?" she asked, in a trembling voice. "Archie's fine," Alexandra said, praying this was true. "But we don't have any time." Doors were opening on both sides of the street. With shaking hands, Claudia unlocked the front door and pushed it open. She put her hands over her mouth as Alexandra floated both bodies past her into the living room and let them fall to the floor. Alexandra slipped inside and shut the door behind her, even as she saw Mrs. Wilborough step out of her house across the street. She leaned back against the wall in the entrance foyer briefly, closed her eyes, and took several deep breaths. Her chest still hurt, and she had the shakes herself. When she opened her eyes, Claudia was still staring at her. "You saved my life," Alexandra said. Claudia slowly lowered her hands. She turned her head and looked at the two bodies on the floor. "I don't understand. That other man was Archie, but his name is Pasquale Mercurio. He's a metamorphmagus, and that means he can make himself look like someone else. He was going to kill me, too." Alexandra walked carefully past the bodies, and as she did, she held out her arm. The tattoo there writhed and twisted around her wrist, and Nigel fell onto Respire's chest. "Just in case he's not really dead," Alexandra said. "Don't go near him, Claudia." She walked into Claudia and Archie's bedroom and found Archie lying on the bed in his underwear and t-shirt, snoring. To her surprise, Alexandra felt tears welling up at the sight of her brother-in-law alive. She knelt next to him and gave him a quick hug, then stood up and pointed her wand. "Innervate," she said. Archie jolted awake with a start.
"What?"
"Archie," Alexandra said. And he rolled over and stared at her in confusion. "Listen, Archie, I have to..." Claudia entered the bedroom, saw Archie, and with a cry, fell into his arms. Archie put his arms around her and looked from Claudia to Alexandra with glowing confusion and concern.
"Someone want to tell me what the hell is going on?"
There was a loud knock at the door. Claudia jumped. "Wait here," Alexandra said. She walked back out into the living room. While Archie called,
"Wait, what?"
she heard him moving to put on clothes while Claudia spoke to him. Nigel still sat on Richard Respire's chest but remained placid. Alexandra cast a spell to reveal foes. She looked through the peephole in the front door, with her wand at the ready, and saw Mrs. Wilborough. As she opened the door, she heard sirens. "Well," Mrs. Wilborough said, "I take it Larkin Mills will survive, and you have too."
"Yeah, we kind of have a problem, though."
Alexandra stepped aside to let Mrs. Wilborough in. The old woman stepped inside, saw the two bodies on the floor, and put one hand over her mouth.
"Good Lord."
"I don't think I can make two bodies disappear with a vanishing spell," Alexandra said. "I can try, but..." Archie stepped into the room, wearing pants and an unbuttoned shirt. He stopped dead when he saw the bodies, then looked at his neighbor from across the street.
"Mrs. Wilborough?"
Alexandra walked over to the nearest body and scooped up Nigel. She held out her arm and let the snake twine around her wrist
and then transformed back into a tattoo. Archie's eyes widened. Yeah, Archie, this is magic, and I have a lot of explaining to do and not much time to do it. Will you listen?
You have a tattoo,
Archie said.
When did you get a tattoo?
The sound of sirens became louder. Claudia asked, Is there any other way you can magic away these bodies? Maybe put them in the backyard?
You gotta be kidding, Archie said.
I could dig a hole, Alexandra said, but I don't think I could cover it up before the cops get here. Archie's voice rose.
Are you forgetting I'm a cop?
Then why don't you talk to your cop buddies and see if you can make them go away, said Mrs. Wilborough. Here's what I suggest. You heard an intruder trying to break into your house. Claudia fired a shot, but the intruder ran.
Claudia fired a bunch of shots, Alexandra said.
Yes, so I see. Nice shooting. But the neighbors who heard the shots won't be able to give a consistent count, and the police will assume everyone is confused about the number of shots fired, including Claudia. Isn't that right, Archie?
How many crime scenes have you helped cover up, Mrs. Wilborough?
Archie demanded. Their neighbor smiled.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
There are still two dead bodies in our living room, Archie said. We can't just make them go away.
A sudden, deep series of thumps and rattles echoed from the fireplace. Everyone turned to stare at it just before a cloud of green smoke exploded out of the hearth with a flash of light. Archie coughed and cursed.
I took the liberty of calling your father, Mrs. Wilborough said.
You what?
Said Alexandra and Claudia together.
Hopefully this is the help he assured me would arrive.
Two figures appeared in the green hazy smoke. Alexandra raised her wand again and noticed that Archie had retrieved his revolver from Pasquale Mercurio's body. Then a familiar voice said, Tergio, and another said, Scourgify. The green powder was sucked out of the air and vanished in the blink of an eye. Standing in front of the fireplace were two blonde women with identical faces, one with a long, thick braid and the other with her hair loose and wavy past her shoulders. They each held a wand and wore witches' robes and serious expressions.
Lucilla! Drusilla!
Alexandra said. Her twin sisters smiled.
Hello, little sister, said Drusilla.
Hello, Sister Claudia, said Lucilla, greeting their oldest sister. I wish our first meeting could be under better circumstances.
Or circumstances more conducive to introductions and explanations, said Drusilla.
But if those sirens mean what I think they mean, we're about to be visited by Muggle Aurors.
Okay, Alex, I'm listening, Archie said. Start explaining.
Lucilla, Drusilla, we need to get rid of these bodies.
Alexandra glanced at Archie, took a deep breath, and said, Also, can you take Claudia and Archie back with you?
What?
Exclaimed Claudia and Archie.
Archie, Claudia, Alexandra said. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, but it's time to go.
She faced the couple who had been her parents for most of her life.
This is a wizard war. It started, and neither of you are safe here anymore. They want me,
but they'll come after Claudia too because she's also the daughter of Abraham Thorne, the most wanted man of the Confederation. They're wizards, Archie. Your gun and your badge won't protect you or Claudia from them.
A gun seems to work pretty well on this wizard,
Mrs. Wilborough said, indicating Respire's body with evident satisfaction. Claudia inhaled sharply, and Archie put an arm around her. Alexandra glared at her. Mrs. Wilborough shrugged and said,
I'm going to go outside. I'll try to buy you a few more minutes. I have a long list of complaints and suspicious sightings to tell the responding officers about.
She smiled and went to the front door. When she opened it, the wail of sirens was almost at the house before she closed it behind her. Lucilla looked down at Respire.
I'm surprised an Auror was felled by a Muggle weapon.
Please, Lucy, Drew, can you give Claudia and Archie sanctuary? Alexandra asked. Their seven-gabled house in New England was hidden by a Fidelius charm. Even the Wizard Justice Department couldn't find them as long as they stayed inside.
Yes, Drusilla. Of course, said Lucilla.
No, said Archie. I mean, take Claudia, but I'm not going.
The sirens outside became louder and louder until the flashing lights were visible through the front curtains.
Archie,
said Alexandra and Claudia together.
What about you, Alex? Asked Archie. Where are you going?
Alexandra didn't say anything. Archie turns to Claudia.
I have to talk to the boys. You two go with your sisters if they can protect you. I'm not leaving, We'll talk later and figure out what to do next. But this isn't a discussion.
Claudia put her arms around him and they kissed until Archie pulled away. He reached for the holster still on Pasquale Mercurio's body, pulled it off his belt and slipped his gun into it before walking to the door. Claudia's face was wet with tears.
Alex. You should come with us, Alexandra, Lucilla said.
She had already levitated both Respire and Mercurio off the floor and was guiding them head first into the fireplace.
There are some things I have to do first, Alexandra said. Also, apparently I'm going to have to stay here and protect Archie.
Stubborn sister, Lucilla said. Stubborn Archie, Alexandra said. I'll join you when I can. Thank you for taking care of Claudia.
Alexandra gave all three of her sisters hugs, Claudia last.
Alex, Claudia said, can't you make Archie come with us?
Her look was pleading.
Make him?
Alexandra stared at her. You mean cast a spell on him? Claudia, no.
Even if I could, I wouldn't. I can't believe you'd ask me to do something like that.
Lucilla and Drusilla looked equally appalled. Claudia's expression was so anguished that Alexandra couldn't be angry at her. Lucilla put a hand on Claudia's arm.
Claudia, sister, what you're suggesting is one of the unforgivable curses. It's not done.
Actually, it is, Alexandra thought. Pasquale Mercurio had already done it to Archie, and she recalled times her father had used the Imperious Curse, including once on Larry Albo. But she couldn't.
Claudia nodded, not meeting anyone's eyes.
We have to go, said Drusilla.
Do join us when you can, little sister, said Lucilla. And bring your brother-in-law if you can persuade him.
I'll try.
Alexandra looked at Claudia.
I'll do my best to protect him. You know how stubborn he is.
Claudia managed a weak smile.
Says the pot about the kettle.
Drusilla tossed flue powder into the fireplace and said,
House of Seven Gables.
The bodies of Pasquale Mercurio and Richard Respire preceded her, and then she was gone in a cloud of green smoke.
Lucilla followed, taking Claudia with her, leaving Alexandra temporarily alone in the living room.
She cast a cleaning charm to remove all the traces of flue powder, and a scouring charm to remove the blood from the carpet. Then she sat down on the couch and waited, hoping Archie would be able to send his fellow officers away without them needing to come inside. The police lights outside continued to rotate and flash, but even this wasn't enough to keep Alexandra awake, as fatigue, shock, and the stress of spending most of the last 24 hours running from one crisis to another caught up to her. She fell asleep on the couch and never heard when Archie came back in.
For the text of this and other stories, as well as news and updates about Alexandra Quick, visit inverarity.livejournal.com. Troublesome, composed by Dr. James Benninghoff. Charmbridge, composed by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. Special thanks to Sakiko, Ali, and Theo. If you would like to get in touch with me or simply listen to more stories that I've read, visit samgabrielvo.com and join my Discord server to learn how you can support this project and hear episodes recorded live. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.